loving themselves and not loving Jesus. We can get off track so easy. I see that many Christians and even denominations are being duped right now. I just want to give a shout out to my childhood denomination of United Methodist Church. Thankful they stood on what was truth, that to still stand against. Amen. Now, the heartbreaking thing is this. It was 53-47. There's an imminent divide coming very soon, but they still stood on the Word of God and believed that sin is sin, and you call it what it is. Right? Amen. So I'm thankful for that. So many believers falling off. See, there's evil in our face every single day. Even this week, there was something that passed in our country that voted that legalizing killing already born babies. Now you can say it this way, that they don't help already alive babies. So babies that have been aborted that didn't actually succeed, and when they're born, the thing is that they're not going to treat it like a live human being. They're just going to let it die on the table. Evil is in our face every day. I'm upset about it. See, did you know that anger is not a sin? You knew that, right? Otherwise, Jesus sinned when he was at the temple flipping some tables over, right? See, it's a sin in your anger when you determine what you do with it. It either makes it righteous anger or it makes sinful anger. The last Sunday, I was praying after church. After we went out to eat, and I was praying, God, what do you want me to say now? I constantly pray this prayer. Lord, I don't need to know everything in your battle plan. I just want to know the next step. I just want to know the next step. That's all I need to know. First off, God, you know as well as anybody. There ain't no way I can handle more than one step. Right? You will blow my mind. I'll just sit there in the corner freaked out. But God, I just need to know the next step. And so I was praying to the Lord after lunch. Lord, speak to me. And this is what I felt he said to me. He said this, son. Any men in here ever feel like God says that to you? Say, son. Anybody, everybody feel that? When God's talking to you, you're like, son. You're like, yes. Yes, dad, I'm listening. Son, teach them how to fight. Yes. Yes. He said, teach them how to pray. God said to me last Sunday. See, what good would it be for you to hear and see all these issues and all these problems and never have a solution? You know what that's called? That's called complaining. That's called gossip. That's called hopelessness. Now, I cannot possibly teach everyone in here this morning in one Sunday how to fight, how to pray, but we need to start somewhere. We need to start somewhere. See, I don't know about you believers of Christ, children of God, but I am tired of seeing the helpless get beat up. And sometimes I'm even tired of feeling helpless and beat up. You see, in a Christian life, this is not a playground, this is a battlefield. And listen, just because you don't understand the supernatural maybe in your life does not mean there's not a war going on in you, through you, and around you at all times. Battlefield. I'm ready to step in the field. Amen? I'm ready to fight. Are you? Listen, if we don't fight back, who will? Who will? So welcome to the new month. Pastor Cody, you did an excellent job this morning. Excellent job. Wonderful. My wife leaned over, she goes, he's even being prophetic. Right? I'm like, woo, come on now. Speak things as if they should be, not maybe as they are now. Speak life into those. See, we get all mixed up with the word prophetic. It's not as scary as you think. It's edifying, building up. It's speaking things that should be. It's talking about what God wants Quit rehearsing the things that you see and rehearse what God wants. You know, be prophetic, not pathetic. Come on now. I'm done. Amen. So this is the new month. Like Pastor Cody said, this month in March, it is cultivate. That is our theme. Cultivate. So the word cultivate has two main definitions. First off, the word cultivate is a verb, which means an action. Get to work. Amen. My dad said that growing up all the time. Get to work, boy. Oh. Sorry, Marine. Okay, number one. The first definition of cultivate is prepare and use the land for crops and gardening. Prepare and use. Prepare and use. Number two is this. Try to acquire or develop a skill. I was praying about those definitions, and this is what I feel like God said to me, and I'm taking from this. Prepare and use while you develop a skill. Cultivate. I'm going to prepare and use, right? You prepare, but you also use. We say it all the time, like people waiting to have a baby, people waiting to get married. There's never a perfect time. Sometimes you prepare, and you don't even know. You prepare yourself out of the situation you should have just used. You should have just jumped in, right? We got to prepare and use while we develop our skill. It's just like the theme for 2019. It's discipleship. Right, you got to disciple a Christian and a non-Christian. If you're a member of this church, that is your call this year. Pray for 10 non-believers every single day, at least every week, right? We have to prepare and use what God has given us while we develop our skill. See, many of us in here today, this is your home church. But we do have a lot of guests. It's good to see you. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. If you don't have a home church, we'd invite you to come join us. If you have a home church, we want you to be planted where God is telling you to be. We're not into sheep stealing at all here. We want you to be planted and planted firm and jump all in to what God is saying. But if you don't have a home church, we'd love for you to be a part of this family. But see, here at our home church, we have something that's happening. Here at First Open Bible, we're experiencing what I believe to be a spiritual sprinkling of revival. But church, we must prepare for the spiritual rain to come. How do you prepare for rain to come? You cultivate a prayer life. God will never pour out His Spirit anywhere. Anywhere. That people are not praying. You realize every great outpouring, every great movement of God started on people's knees in prayer. How do we prepare for the rain to come? We cultivate a prayer life. See, in the last days, we must prepare and use prayer. In the last days, we must develop the skill of prayer. We have to cultivate. Leonard Ravenhill said this, God doesn't just answer prayer. He answers desperate prayer, end quote. Prayer is not a series of wishes to be granted. God is not a genie. You don't rub your Bible and get three wishes, you know what I'm saying? Prayer is an avenue for a life to be transformed. Prayer is a position to see heaven on earth. Simply put this, prayer is us talking to God and God talking to us. That's what it is. Raise your hand if you have a friend. One friend. Any friend. I see some hands not raised. You need to look to your neighbor and say, I need a friend. My vantage point sees every person, by the way. I see one here, I see one there that never rose their hands. If you have a friend, you realize this, communication, without communication, you don't have a friend anymore, right? Same things with God. He wants you to talk to Him, and He wants to talk to you. It's not as scary as you think it is. It should be a blessing, not a burden, to pray. You just talk to Him. Be honest with Him like He's your best friend, because He's better than your best friend. It says He's closer than a brother. Here's cool. This is a cool thing, though. See, prayer is communication, but prayer is not just communication. There's so much more. So many things begin with prayer, and so many things end with prayer. Prayer is hope. It's hope for our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, our family, anybody who needs our Savior, anybody who needs the Savior of the world. Prayer is a lifeline. When you got nothing else and you are down and out and you don't know what to do, it's a lifeline. God, you must show up now. I got nothing else in my life. I've been there. God, if you don't show up, I don't know what I'm going to do. Prayer is victory. Prayer is warfare. Let's see how Jesus prayed. If you open your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, let's read how Jesus prayed. In one of the Gospels, the disciples said, "Teacher, Rabbi, will you teach us how to pray? We see you pray all the time, and we realize you're talking to the Father. Teach us how to pray." We're going to read in Matthew chapter 6, the first book of the New Testament, Matthew 6. We're going to read 9 through 13. I'm going to read this in the New King James Version. "In this manner, says Jesus, therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever. Amen." Amen. I'm going to break that down just a little bit. Hallowed, what does that mean? It means honor as holy. God is to be revered. He is divine. He should be worshipped. He should be respected. We must honor and respect God and understand He alone desires our worship. See, when we do that, then we can understand, if you go into verse 10, we can understand what it means by His kingdom coming. What? His kingdom coming. It says this in verse 10, "Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What does that mean? To break it down, simply this, it means this: God is ruler. He is not only going to rule when the second coming of Christ happens, but God is to rule our lives, and He's to rule our situations right now. Our Father's will be done on earth as it is happening in heaven right now. See, you got to feel that in worship a little bit. For y'all that aren't used to the loud worship, you think heaven's going to be quiet? There are millions and billions of angels and humans and elders worshiping the King. They ain't going to be whispering. Love being a Pentecostal because of that, amen. We get to enter in with what's happening in heaven right now. Why do we know that? Because Jesus prayed it. See, we can see God's desires, His purposes, His motives, His design, His intent, and it will prevail through the ones that will know the heart of our Father. It's going to happen when you know the heart of God, and through those ones that will pray His will come to pass. Maybe you're not seeing anything in your life change because you don't know God's will. You don't know how to pray because you haven't read how Jesus prays. You haven't been praying like Jesus. "Not my will, Father, not my will, not my will, but yours will be done. I never intended to be a preacher. Never. That was never my plan, was it? Not until I got in high school and got called. But it's not my will, but His will be done." Amen? God's calling many of you to His will and not your own. Don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. Go all out. That'll be the greatest journey you will ever take in your life. Even if it brings you to a place that's a high of 5 degrees. Y'all see what I did there, right? So right now I want to ask, will you get your heart ready this morning? Will you get your heart ready to pray God's will to be done? Will you get your heart ready for a spiritual fight, a spiritual battle?
Yes.
And now here's the thing. Like, in the world, you think that, you know, a fight is like all out crazy. Sometimes your best fight is silence.
Yes.
On your knees, quiet before the Lord. It's a spiritual fight. It's not one in the world. We got to fight like Jesus fights. So, Brother Bob, will you raise your hand there? Do a little hallelujah wave. Come on, get that man a hanky right there. Surrender, right? Brother Bob. So Brother Bob and I had lunch this week, and we talked about the Lord pretty much the entire lunchtime, like we do every time. Amen? Right? And I was sharing with him some of the stuff that was on my heart to preach, and he had some great insight that stirred my spirit. Now, some of you don't know about Bob, but Bob was a great amateur boxer. He was actually a champion, right? So, Brother Bob, I need to borrow something from you, right? So, Bob's going to hit me in the face. I'm just playing. Y'all believe in healing, right? Come on now. We're going to test your faith and prayers right now. He was an amateur fighter, boxer. Thank you, baby. And he won some golden gloves, didn't you? Right? Amateur golden gloves. He won more than once. He won a few different times in his younger years. He was a great fighter. He told me the biggest secret to his success this week. Do you know what it was? Bob, don't you tell. Do you guys know what it was? Maybe you've talked to him before. I want to answer it this way. So Bob had some friends, and his friends would ask him this question. Hey, Bob, if you were to fight Cassius Clay, you might not know who that is. That is Muhammad Ali. If you were to fight Muhammad Ali in a boxing match, do you think you could win? Bob answered him back like this. Every time I stepped into that ring, no matter who came through those ropes to oppose me, I was going to win. See, we all need a strategy to fight. We all need a strategy to pray. But what good is a strategy if we don't have a correct mindset? See, a good coach, he teaches all the fundamentals, right? All the fundamentals. But a great coach teaches the fundamentals and teaches a great mindset. The correct mindset. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. I'm going to start reading it in the NIV. It says this: the weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought, mindset, and make it obedient to Christ. I want to read that in the NLT. It says it this way: we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly ones. We knock down the strongholds of human reasoning, and we destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts, and we teach them to obey Christ. See, most of the time, your defeat happened between your ears long before you even got into that fight. You lost before you even put the gloves on. Here's another example. So in the Old Testament, you have the children of God. This is the Israelites. And God promised them victory. If they would just love God, believe in Him, and walk with Him, I will lead you into victory. But the children of God wandered the desert for 40 years. And only their children made it into the promised land. See, the ones, original ones, didn't make it into the promised land themselves. It was not because of their lack of believing that God could do anything. Think about it. They believed God could do anything. God rescued them from hundreds of years of slavery from the Egyptians. They have even seen a fiery pillar from heaven come down. God split the sea in half, and that, you know, that's a great miracle, but think about this. And then the ground that they walked on was dry. That should have been a muddy mess. They ate daily manna, like you said this morning, Pastor Cody. They ate daily manna from heaven every single morning. God gave fresh manna. They even complained that God gave them quail, gave them a bunch of birds to eat, right? God provided water in the desert from rocks. Every single day they saw manifestations in the presence of God. They experienced the Shekinah kind of glory every day. See, they knew that Yahweh was powerful. They knew He was their provider. He knew that in Yahweh, victory was in Him. They knew that God could do anything. But the reason why so many of God's children died in the desert was because they did not believe that God could do anything through them. They saw the power of their giant enemy, and their faith became faithless. Their strategy to fight, send the 12 spies, 10 come back, wrong mindset. Their strategy to fight was destroyed by their failed mindset. See, they walked into the ring thinking that God could do anything, but they walked into that ring and whatever came into that ring to oppose them reminded them that they didn't believe that God could conquer that enemy through them. When Bob was stepping into the ring, he didn't say, "Hey, trainer, this guy's big. Can you fight him for me? I'm out." Right? You know who that is? That's Cassius Clay. That's Muhammad Ali. You and I are going to have to fight him together. Y'all understand what I just said right there, right? Bob told me that he wasn't the fastest, wasn't the strongest, but what he was the most cultivated. He was the most prepared to be used because he developed his skills. The biggest reason why Bob was a boxing champion more than one time was he believed that no matter what, no matter who opposed him in that ring, no matter how big, Bob was going to win. 1 John 4:4 in the New King James Version says this: "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." The first step of cultivating an atmosphere of victory in prayer is the mindset of the one that is praying. That's step one. You got to know who you are in Christ. You got to know what the word says. You got to have the right mindset before you even go into the fight, or you will lose. All right, think about this for a moment. This is crazy. We were talking about this, and God just like, whoop. I'm like, whoa. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 8 that in Christ we're more than conquerors, right? A lot of y'all, that might be your favorite verse. What does that mean? See, to be a conqueror means you have to fight. You have to be in a battle to win. That's what a conqueror is. I've conquered that. I've won. I was thinking about this. To be more than a conqueror, I think it means this, that you've already won before you even walked into that fight. See, I'm more than a conqueror. I've already won and I haven't even put on my gloves. Position yourself, church, for a fight that has already been won. You realize it's a fixed fight. It's a fixed fight. That referee, he's on our side. I mean, nobody looking, he might, bam, a little elbow every once in a while. I don't know, he's bleeding. I don't know how it happened. Jesus already has victory. In Christ, church, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. See, if you have a mind of Christ, you're going to have a victory of Christ. Pray like Jesus. Think like Jesus. God is bigger than any enemy. Amen? He's bigger than any enemy. He's bigger than that circumstance you're facing right now. He's bigger than that sickness that you have in your body. He's bigger than any persecution that will happen to us here in America coming soon. Stay tuned. We're going to see which side of the fence you're on, because that fence that you may be riding is about to burn. The Lord has defeated not only our sin and our death, He has defeated the devil and all the minions and all the evil in the world. He's already defeated it. As soon as Jesus comes, He's going to be reminded. He's going to be put in His place. See, but through you and your faith and your prayers, who is God defeating? Not only do we have faith in who God says He is, and faith in His word, but do you believe that that God empowers you through His Spirit to face any foe and to see it to its demise? Do you really believe it? It might be words out of your mouth, but what is hidden in your heart? You must believe that He can do it through you. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who gives me strength. So Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. I want to ask you some questions. If you're familiar with the armor of God in Ephesians 6, will you raise your hand? Most of everybody. If you're not, I'm going to read it in a second. But I want to ask anybody who raised their hand, I want to ask you this. Who's supposed to fight? Who's supposed to put on the armor? Who wears the armor? Who's supposed to stand? Now here's... who is supposed to witness the victory right in front of their eyes? If you don't know, let's read it. Ephesians 6, we're going to read verses 10 through 18. Final word. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all God's armor so you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. I love this. In the NLT, I love how it says this. Stand your ground. Amen? Put on the belt of truth. Put on the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on peace that comes from the good news, so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. See, I might see something happen, but my faith says I'm going to get through this. This arrow may sting a little bit, but as soon as I put my shield up, it ain't even going to hit me. Verse 17, put on salvation as your helmet and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Like I said a couple weeks ago, so many times you're standing there taking a beating and a beating and a beating and a beating, and you were never supposed to take the beating. But the reason why you can't fight back is because you don't open or you don't use your sword. This is the offensive weapon. The other ones protect you. This one defeats the enemy. The Bible, that's the book for who? Come on now. Okay, so right here in verse 7, where we talk about the Word of God, most people stop there. But we are not done cultivating ourselves for a fight. Verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times. On every occasion, if you don't like this, get mad at God. I didn't write this. This is God's word. Pray in the Spirit at all times on every occasion. Stay alert and be, I love this word, persistent. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Look at me real quick. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Your armor was meant to have chinks in it. It was meant to have some rust and some dirt and maybe some cuts. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. It's not over. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Amen. Prayer has the power to defeat Satan and his minions. In our prayer life, we don't have to beg God for something he's already bought us. God, can I please? Can I please? I already bought it. It's literally in my hands. I've got to beg God. We don't have to beg God for something he has already given us. See, the right mindset, when you're thinking about the evil things of this world, in Christ, you can rebuke. In Christ, you can cast out. In Christ, you can condemn. And in Christ, he belongs under your feet. Yes. Too often, the gospel moves much slower than it should. The breakthrough is held back. God's children must pray. We must fight back. Prayer will tear down walls. Prayer will destroy roadblocks so the kingdom of light can invade the kingdom of darkness. But you must pray with intention. You must pray with intention. We're getting somewhere, church. Prayer has the power to change everything. Brent only, will you please come up, please? Sometimes I gotta say, please, please. Please, Brent, please. Pretty, please. Thank you, please. All right. We need discernment as a church. We need discernment as a body. We need to discern and recognize that our time has come. We live in such a time as this. God. I wrote that down, and that was part of the tongue interpretation. I want to stop real quick. Tongue interpretation is one of the gifts of the Spirit, two of the gifts of the Spirit. In the last days, God's going to pour out His Spirit, and He's going to use those gifts. There was a tongue that was given in a heavenly language and an interpretation, and that is equal, God's Word says, is equal to prophecy, as God was speaking to us in that. And in that prophecy, in that tongue interpretation, exactly the same thing I wrote. We live in such a time as this, and we need discernment to recognize what time we actually live in. I'll tell you two answers to that time. Number one is this. It's time for prayer. And it's time for spiritual warfare. Yes. Our nation is full of darkness. God's people sense. You're in tune with the Lord. You're sensing something precious is just about to be lost. If you don't do something, something precious is about to be lost. Our country could be destroyed like that. There's an absolute political divide, and it's not so much political. It is a lot to do with demonic. It's spiritual in a lot of ways. We were founded, I don't care whatever you want to say, we were founded on the Word of God and the principles, even in our declaration, everything that we say, even in our laws and our government. It was founded on the Word of God by godly people. God's people sense there's something precious about to be lost, but only God can supply what people need. And He will supply it by prayer. Now, it's impossible to predict a great move of God. It's impossible to know exactly when the Spirit of God will rain down and He will pour out. But I feel it in the depths of me. God is going to do something, and He's going to do it soon. Feel it. Leonard Ravenhill said, God doesn't answer prayer. He answers desperate prayer. If we don't desperately pray to God, we will lose our country. We will have in our very backyards, we will have persecution like you've never seen before. We'll be one of those countries that has been lost. We don't pray and ask for God's Spirit to pour out in the last days. If we don't do it and we don't battle back in prayer, who will do it? History shows us that right before a great outpouring of God's Spirit, there will be prayer. There'll be public confession. And God's people will be humble. They'll be humbly in awe of their God. That God would spare us. He's supernatural. He's not just natural, right? A lot of times we put him in this natural box and we expect him to do natural things that we understand about. But guess what? You're not always supposed to understand naturally, but you are supposed to recognize and discern, and it's supposed to check in your spirit that you know that God is doing something. And we have to come to God desperately to ask him to heal our land. And you're going to do that if you humble yourself. How do you humble yourself? You bow your knee and recognize that he is God. Hallowed be his name. Yahweh, our Father in heaven, worthy to be praised. Let me tell you this tidbit too. This is how you pray. Who do you pray to? You pray to the Father. How do you do it? You do it through the Son, Jesus Christ. And by what power? By the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how you pray. You pray to the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how you pray. So I don't know where you're at this morning or what your mindset is about prayer, but you must start somewhere. You must cultivate your prayer life. Excuses produce barren trees. All you got is excuses, you're barren. But on your knees in prayer, you'll produce heavenly fruit. In God's word, it says fruit that, what? Remains. It won't be burned up with the fire that is coming. Fruit that remains. Remember, most of our struggles in our life, God's word said it, is not against humans. Not against flesh and blood. It's against powers, powerful spirits, forces of evil. It's in the spiritual realm. So God tells us to do a few things. God tells us to pray. God tells us to worship him. God tells us to declare his word. If you don't know how to pray, just read God's word and declare it as a prayer. That's some of the most powerful prayers you'll ever hear anyway. God tells us to pray. He tells us to worship him. He tells us to declare his word. And he also tells us to have a mindset, a mind of Christ. And as we do that, God promises us something awesome, that he fights with us, he fights for us, he fights and goes with us in every battle. I got good news. We have an arsenal of spiritual weapons that are unmatched. Time to pray, church. It's time to pray and aim our weapons of warfare. I think God is more pleased with snipers as he is people with shotguns, hoping you're going to hit something. I'm just going to pray a bunch and hope I hit something. Ask God for a strategy. First you have to have the mindset, then ask God for a strategy, and then snipe it out. Bam! That prayer right there, that's done. Bam! Bam! Done! Done! Not just, I hope I hit something. Time to cultivate our prayer life. Time to get your mind right. Time to fight. Will you stand with me as I read of a couple verses in Deuteronomy? Then I'm going to ask you to do something. Remember, faith without works is what? God doesn't want us to warm pews, amen? Wants us to disciple the world. Wants us to go out and preach the good news. Wants us to be built up, edified. And my main job as your pastor is to equip you to do the works of the ministry. See, this is practice. Game time as soon as you walk out. So we got to put our mouths where our money is, right? We got to put to practice. What we do in practice, we got to put that in the game. I'm going to ask you to do something after I read these two verses before we go this morning. I pray this encourages you. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 3 and 4, I'm going to read it out of the NLT. It says this. Will you go ahead and not put that up, please, Joshua? Thank you. I just want to read it to him. Thank you. This is what God is saying to you. He will say to them, listen to me, all you men of Israel, representing God's church, it's representing the warriors, fighters. Do not be afraid as you go out to fight your enemies today. Do not lose heart or panic or tremble before them. For the Lord your God is going with you. He will fight for you against your enemies, and he will give you victory. I want you to do something. In God's word, it tells us that we can send some angels to flight. 1,000. A lot of angels. But if you get another person to pray with you, you can send 10,000 to flight. There's a lot of lazy angels right now, and that's not their fault. Our job is, they're messengers of God. Our job is to ask or tell or command something to happen and ask the angels to go and fight. And they're just standing around waiting for us to ask them to fight. In God's word, it tells us that we can bear one another's burdens, that we can lift each other up. It says in God's word that iron sharpens iron. Well, what is made of iron? Weapons. If it's going to sharpen, take another weapon and sharpen it. Shoo, shoo, two weapons getting together and you just start sharpening each other. Now, this might be uncomfortable, but God doesn't call us to be comfortable Christians, does he? He calls us to be holy. So I'm going to ask you to do something around you. I want you to pray for one another. You can send 1,000. That's awesome. But God's math is amazing. Get another person. That's 10,000. What would 5 be? I don't know. Y'all may be better at math than I am. It's going to be a ton. It's going to be a whole bunch. Get 6, get 5, get 3, get 2. Get more than just yourself. We're going to come together. I'm going to pray, and then I want us to pray. Now, you can specifically pray for what you want to, but if you don't know what to pray for, I want to help you aim this morning. I want us to aim our weapons of warfare. Pray for the babies. We'll never make it because we have made ourselves God in America, and we say that we can make decisions for the convenience of women's rights and choices. Pray against abortion in our country. Pray against abortion and what we've made it. We forgot that God is the keeper of life, not us. Pray for abortion in this country. Pray that God would come and pour out his spirit in this country to the ones that are desperately wanting it. Pray for God's churches to rise up and step up and to be activated by faith. Pray that from the pulpit, that the whole counsel of God will be spoken about, not just a portion of the Bible that pleases. And God's word says it tickles our ears. Oh, that's going to make me feel good. I don't know how God talks to you, but he don't make me feel good. But he empowers me to get past myself and to do what God has called me to do. Pray for American pulpits. Pray for churches to follow after. Pray that there is going to be an outpouring in God's church. See, revival's for the church to revive something that maybe was dead. So you revive something that once lived. That's what we want revival for. That revival will come and it will revive the church. Why? So you can go out into a lost and broken and dying world. God's word says that Jesus came, that not one soul will perish. Everyone needs a chance to hear God's word. But if we don't tell them, church, who's going to tell them? That's it. The basic is this. We need you, God. We need to quit looking to ourselves and we need to look to you. Look to you, look to you, look to you. I'm going to pray, and I want to ask you to get around, and you're just going to say some simple prayers. You can pray for 2 minutes. You can pray for 15 minutes. I just want you to pray with one another here in a moment, right? This is America. They're going to keep the light on for you. They're going to keep the food ready. Y'all going to eat in a second, so don't you worry. There's plenty, plenty. We're the land of plentiful. We're the land of too much. Okay. Father, we love you and we thank you for this word, God. Thank you for cultivating our hearts in prayer. Thank you for coming and sharing with us, God, that our job is spiritual warfare and we are no stronger than we've ever been before, than we are on our knees praying to you, God. We recognize that you are sovereign. We recognize that you are God. We recognize that you are hallowed. You are to be worshiped, to be honored, and to be revered. That you are to be the one and only that we look to, God. I ask that right now that you equip your church with spiritual weapons to fight with. God, if we could all pray this morning, I don't know, there might be around 200 or so adults in here today. God, there'd be 200 praying souls. Angels, get to work. It's time to fight. God, I just ask that right now you go to work in Cedar Rapids, in Linn County, in Iowa, in the United States of America, in the Midwest, God. I pray for an outpouring of your spirit to come. I pray that there be a fire in the pulpits, that we recognize the last time, and I recognize in the pews, God, they'll recognize it's the last days that we're in, and we must look to your signs, and it must compel us to go out and to speak and to preach to a lost and dying world. Teach us how to love like you love them. Teach us how to love the lost, to get past our comforts and to get into the things that you've called us to do, God. Open our mouths and make it full of your words, God. We thank you. We ask this right now, God. We ask, and I want to say this before we pray, God. Humble us. Humble us, God. It's not me, it's you. It's not us, it's you. Empty us out and fill us full of you, God. Less of us, more of you. 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 May we recognize that the power comes from the Spirit of God and not our own emotions. It comes from your power that's in us, because greater is you that is in us than any demonic force in the world. We love you. We praise you. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Brent, will you play a song? Church, get together. Have a little prayer sessions right now before you go. Love one another. Change the world, because the world changer is in you.